You posted that stuff, but I think it was revolving around they were trying to get, what's the people called? They call it Think Something, the AI.
Thinking Labs,
Thinking Labs, and you beat me to it. I was gonna quote it with Kiera saying, "Hey, the person got a master's in this person got a doctorate, and it's just gonna be funny." But it was like, I mean, this is the truth. You can go right on LinkedIn and see what people have.
It's literally right there. Like, everybody acts like it's some mystery, and you can just make up how, like, the best way for somebody to do something. If you go look on LinkedIn, you can find like 10 different people and see, you know, people that are working at the companies you want to work for, because you got to get specific, right? People aren't specific. They'll just say, oh yeah, you know, I just want to get a certain type of job. But once you start saying, oh, I want to be an AI researcher, I want to be an AI ML engineer, okay, well, now you need to start looking for people that actually have that job title. And then people are saying, oh, they want to get the big $100 million offers and stuff. Go look and see their LinkedIn of what their background looks like. I think when me and Kiera were looking at it, we had only found one guy who didn't have a master's, but he had been working in the space for like 10 plus years already. At Thinking Labs, he had been working in the space for 10 plus years already. I think he was previously at like Meta. So I think what a lot of people don't realize is when it comes to like the AI ML space is that it's new to us, but there's a lot of people that have been doing this for a decade already, and they have masters and PhDs, and they've been working at the big tech and FAANG companies this whole time. So like, if you're trying to come in and say, yeah, that's going to be me, and we already know everybody wants everything overnight, it's not realistic. Yeah. And that's just all I'm trying to point out to people is like, you all need to be realistic, because I already see how it goes. They don't achieve whatever goal. They see certain people talking about stuff, and then they come back bitter like, oh yeah, well, I tried this and it didn't work for me. So I'm just trying to set like realistic expectations. If that's what you want to do, yes, you can do it, but you better be ready to go to school, and you better be ready to like grind and get into FAANG companies and big tech companies and like the best AI startups. You're talking about the top 0.01% of tech professionals. Like, you just can't. This is not like, you know, like I say with GovTech, this is not just like entry level IT roles where you can get the Security Plus and get right in. This is not that. Like, because I see a lot of people saying, oh yeah, well, what certifications can I get to get into AI engineering? None.
That,
zero.
You know, it's funny because that reminds me. Well, I was talking about grifting, a certain grifter who I'm not going to say name, but they'll make these posts about AI is the new wave. Hey, check out this AI boot camp so you can get into AI. And
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of who you're talking about. I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about.
If you pinpoint it, then you can kind of think of who I'm talking about. They got a big following too, and they mostly use their following to sell affiliate links to boot camps.
Oh, you talking about on IG.
Yeah, I'm talking about IG. Because I'm like, I'm looking at it, I was like, this is not how this AI thing works. This is not how it works. And most of these people have masters from mostly good universities.
And, not just good, and Ivy League.
And on top of that, the AI certifications are specific to companies. So why are you going to go get a Microsoft certification for AI if you have no plans to utilize their technology? So it's not, just like you said, it's not cert-based.
No, it's not.
It's at all.
It's not cert-based. And then, so like all of the tech certification vendors will start coming out with their own AI certifications. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's going to be platform specific, tool specific. And if you aren't already going down that way, like if you're a cloud engineer, you focus on Azure, of course, go get the AI cloud certifications that Microsoft offers, right? If you're, an AWS cloud engineer or a DevOps engineer, and you focus on AWS, of course, go get those certifications. But if you have no experience, which is what most people are, right? They have no experience. They're trying to change their career. That's not going to work for you. And I like to take that all back to, if you're technical, I believe that almost everybody should start in an entry-level IT role. Most people should start help desk, IT support, something like that. Work it for 6 months, 6 to 8 months, and then go to what it is that you want to do next. Because you have no experience. You don't know how anything works in tech. You've never worked in a tech type of environment before. I think that it's good to get that foundation. And you can move up quickly. So I don't know why people are so like anti entry level IT jobs. And like, people in my community, they're getting help desk jobs in GovTech paying $75K without any experience whatsoever.
Nah, for sure, for sure. Let me intro the podcast. Now we finna heat up. Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD. If you're listening right now, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen to your podcast at, please follow us and leave us a review. Help us out in the podcast analytics. And if you're right here with us on YouTube, just hit the like button. That's all I ask. And keep on watching, and I'm pretty sure you'll subscribe. But today's guest, guys, she's no stranger. I think she's close to almost, what, a million followers across all platforms?
Well, you did your research.
Yeah, I did. I tried to get one of them Shannon Sharp joints right there. But nah, she's close to a million followers on all platforms, and she's been in the space longer than me. We around the same age, but I think she's been working in tech in general a little bit longer than I have. And we finna get the real her, no Drake. But introducing the biggest, Simone Beesberry. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. That was a good intro.
I appreciate it. You did research. I was like, man, how I'm going to do this, man? You got to give certain guests. If they got the following, you gotta big them up. I don't got a team like Club Shay Shay where he got the big car and he do all this other stuff and give the intro like that. But I appreciate you for coming on the show. We was already heating up right before this. So I said, let me go ahead and intro before we have a pod with no intro and just straight gas.
Yeah, facts.
But for the people who either been living on the rock, they not on any type of social media, who's Bees?
Man, so you like who's Bees, how did it start? Who's Bees? Like just who I am now?
Like who are you? Because, yeah, you know, everybody got this perception of you, but I don't think they even really know who you are.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's fact. So my real name is Simone, right? And Bees is my nickname. So basically, you know, I started out in tech at 16. I don't want to get too deep into the whole background and all that, but basically got in tech at 16 with the A+ certification. I've been on Twitter since, I think, 2009. I think if you look at my page, I've been on Twitter since 2009. And so as I was just going throughout, like just learning about tech and getting into the industry, learning how valuable certifications were. And then I was super fixated on early retirement. So like as I'm learning everything, I'm learning about, you know, FIRE, you know, the FIRE movement. I'm learning about investing in real estate. Obviously, I'm learning about my career because I'm moving up. I learned a ton of stuff. And as I was learning it, I was tweeting the whole time. And so I was always anonymous just because of the fact that, first off, I never like was tweeting things for any like notoriety, anybody know who I was. It was just like, hey, y'all, like, you can get certifications and get into tech. Like, I'm like, Black people need to start doing this, because we always thought that you needed a degree, and that's never been the case. So, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, our community, we have lower salaries and lower incomes. And I'm like, hey, we can all do this tech stuff, especially at like, you know, the more IT, like technician, network technician, cabling, maybe even network engineer, but just getting your foot in the door. So I'm sharing all this information and stuff like that. And like my following just starts to like take off on Twitter. So I think I really started to take off when I was overseas, because I was overseas making all that money, and like people had never heard of overseas government contracting. And then it wasn't until like one day I had posted like one of my pay stubs, it was like almost $15,000. And then that's when everybody's like, oh, shoot, like she's not like capping, like this is real stuff, because they didn't know like my name. They didn't know who I was or anything like that. So, you know, when it comes to just all of that and just sharing information, like that's who I am. Right. I shared all this information for free, literally like the whole time, until people started begging me for consoles. They started begging me to make eBooks. They started begging me to do all types of stuff. So like I started doing a little bit of everything, because I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm really good at this. I've been helping people get jobs, make six figures just from tweets this whole time. So, you know, I just kept doing all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of like led to where I am now, you know. So as people were asking for more and more things with the finances, like I retired early at 27, and people were like, oh, yeah, you know, just make like an ebook for us. So like I started writing a book, and then next thing you know, it was 100 pages. And I'm like, oh, shoot, like this is like a real book. So that's how, you know, I ended up dropping Financial Starter Kit. And Financial Starter Kit, a lot of people probably don't know this, but like I sold over 10,000 copies. And with that book, I talk about how anybody can like start making a lot of money, because I truly believe you can make six figures and there's certain industries that you can easily get to six figures in. So in that book, I talked about the different industries you can get to six figures in, talking about going to trade school because I went to vocational school. That's how I got started in tech. And then talking about like what you can do with your money with saving, like different savings accounts, investing and all that kind of stuff. So really, that's how all of this got started. And once somebody crazy on Twitter tried to like dox me, I posted my picture. And that's how, like, I think things really started to kind of blow up.
Cool. Yeah, that's definitely what's the thing we used to use back in the day in school?
What?
Cliff Notes. The
Cliff Notes version. That's the Cliff Notes version for sure.
But you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, on your YouTube, you pretty much kind of gave like your background. Mm-hmm. So if you want to like her full background and find that out, like, go over there and check it out. And I actually bought that Financial Starter Kit joint. Mm-hmm. Like, it was useful.
Yeah.
I've been looking at what I was doing.
I'm going to put it in my cart today. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know if you can buy it anymore, though.
What?
Yeah. The plus. Look, that's a whole nother story. So, you know, during the pandemic, everybody was doing all different types of hustles and stuff. So, I ended up publishing my book through this publisher who, like, he just kind of, like, just shut down. Like, and so, like, it was me, Aisha Selden. And then also I think, what's his name? Rich. He had a Pinterest book too. Mm-hmm. We were all under the same publisher and he kind of like shut down. And ever since from there, the book is not on Amazon anymore. So like my family and like people, they tell me, they're like, hey, you need to either self-publish it or just put it back up there, figure out how to get it back on Amazon. Yeah. I just haven't done it.
You can do it through KDP, right? It's very easy.
Yeah, I just haven't done it. I need to
do my book. I think I self-published it. It's like really just more so of an ebook because mm-hmm. I like people ask me my physical copies, but I was like, I don't know if I want to go physical because I mean all the stuff that book made more sense for it to be an ebook because if I got hyperlinks and stuff in it or you click on it, take you straight to stuff. So that's the reason why I kept it in that format. Mm-hmm. But nah, man, that's dope. Like when. I guess as you said, after the doxing situation, right? Is that when you decided to I don't know if I want to say take social media seriously, right? But like, think about like, we probably use social media for so long just for fun or putting out a game. But then you realize like, hey, I'm sitting on like a gold mine here that I could monetize off of. Like they monetizing off of me. Why am I not using social media to monetize for the knowledge that I have?
Yeah, I mean, so if you're asking like when I started like, really taking the video stuff seriously. Yeah. That was when it was right before I had started working for Exonius Federal Systems. Mm-hmm. Right before I started working for them, I was just like studying stuff on TikTok, like just watching people. I'm like, man, I know if I can start making videos, like it'll do well. Like it will help more people like learn about all of this stuff, GovTech, overseas government contracting, all of that. So I was just like studying two different content creators at the time. It was Carter PCs, which is funny because we like I know Carter now. We got the same brand manager. And then also what's his name? Frank New or something like that. He had made like the whole like, oh, get into computer science, learn how to code. He made that real popular. And then he ended up retiring from one of the FANG companies or something. But I was watching them studying all their stuff. And I was like, you know, I think I can do this because my whole thing about TikTok was everybody was on there dancing. And I'm like, I don't dance. So I'm like, I don't know how I can get on TikTok because I'm not doing any dances. Like people literally dancing and putting like good information on top of it. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So once I found Carter and Frank just sitting in front of the camera, just talking, I said, OK, I can do that. So I had started posting. I forgot who it was. Somebody was saying like, you know, you just need to post like at least two posts a day for at least 30 days and, you know, you'll start to gain some traction. So I was doing 2 to 3 posts a day. And within the first month I hit like 10,000 followers on TikTok. And then a month later I had a video go viral. And this video is the video that got me like most of my followers on TikTok and IG. So I had a video go viral and that took me to like 100,000 followers on TikTok like within 2 months. And so on IG, I already had a couple followers on there and it brought me up to, I think, like 120 or something like that.
Yeah. Did you want to get into one of your questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So GovTechCon.
Yes.
Your brainchild.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about how has creating it and running it, how has that changed you professionally and personally?
Yeah. So GovTechCon, I mean, so how it's changed me professionally, I would say, like, not at all, right? I would say not at all. But I will say that, you know, since GovTechCon is the only thing on my LinkedIn, because I do not like talking about where I work at, right? I don't like talking about where I work while I'm there. But since GovTechCon is the only thing on my LinkedIn, I have been asked by the company I work for about, like, hey, what is this? You know, are you working another job? Stuff like that. So I would say in that regard, that's the only thing that has affected me, like, personally, but outside or professionally. But outside of that, like, nothing. But in terms of just, like, you know, running a conference and, like, how all that's been going, I think it's been going good, but it's very challenging just because of the fact that a lot of people don't know this on the background. I started tweeting about this before I got over here a little bit, but, like, you know, for GovTechCon, with everything that's going on with, obviously, like, this administration and stuff like that, and then companies are completely changing how they do recruiting and things mm-hmm. like that, it's really affecting in-person conferences, right? So unless you plan on paying for these conferences out of pocket, like, you know, you're going to have some money you have to pay out of pocket. And then not even just that, if your focus is, like, you know, having a career fair and things like that, you're not going to have nearly as many companies as you would like, right? So we were initially going to be at the Gaylord. We had a 10,000 square foot expo hall. And so, you know, we were reaching out to companies, and most of them were like, oh, we don't have the budget to come in person, right? But we'll come, we'll support you virtually, but we're not coming in person, right? So we've been hearing that a lot. But overall, like, the overall conference, we had to change our venue because, like, okay, we can't have a huge conference with not that many companies there, mm-hmm. right? A 10,000 square foot expo hall with nowhere near, like, I think the expo hall could have fit maybe like 100-150 companies in there. Wow. Right. Yeah, it could fit a whole lot. So, like, you know, we started reaching out to companies really early, but it was like same thing over and over and over again. And, like, and it's not just us. Like, you know, I'm really close with Clearance Jobs. Like, they're going through the same thing. So it's just made me realize, like, before GovTechCon last year, nobody knows this, but I had decided last year that I was going to make GovTechCon virtual. Before GovTechCon 2024 even happened, just because I could just kind of see, like, I'm really good at kind of just seeing where things are going. And then, you know, it went so well, like, we ended up having 1,000 people show up. I'm like, okay, well, let's just try to do it again. But because we got that, you know, career aspect to it, it's like, well, you can't have 2,000 people show up and then you have a small amount of companies, like, it's going to be a bad experience for them. So, you know, what I'm doing now is just we're doing more of like a hybrid style, to where it's going to be more intimate in person. It's going to be, you know, a smaller amount of companies in person, but it's still going to be a good amount of companies, like 10 to 15 companies in person. And then the rest will all be virtual. So, like, our in-person attendees, they'll be able to network with the speakers, the sponsors, and the companies in person. Plus, they'll be able to, you know, have a time slot to be able to talk to the virtual companies as well. So that's pretty much how that's been going. But, like, yeah, you know, it's been definitely challenging. And I've decided, like, for next year GovTechCon and for all future GovTechCons, they're going to be 100% virtual, just because, like, I just think that this is kind of where stuff is headed. So but it's like, you know, it's going to be great impact. We actually have the state of Maryland, state CISO. He's going to be coming out being a keynote speaker. Yeah, James Saunders. We have a couple other big keynote speakers I'm working on just tying up before the conference happens next month. So, like, we got a full lineup of speakers just trying to bring out the best kind of, like, heavy hitter keynote speakers. So then that way people are able to, like, actually get around these type of people. Because what I've noticed is, like, if you don't work in these industries, or if you've never had the opportunity to get around, like, you know, C-suite type of tech professionals or even CEOs, you know, these type of conferences are a good place to meet them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nah, for sure.
And I think it's dope to have that virtual experience mean just as much, because sometimes virtual attendees do feel like they get the shorter end of the stick.
Yep.
Because they're not in person. So
yep.
You saying, like, we have tons of support virtually.
Yep.
Is a big deal for those who are not able to purchase a in-person ticket. You know, they're able to still attend virtually.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, so on the virtual side, we're partnering with Broccoli City Fest On the virtual side. So they're going to be like, they run a bunch of conferences for a lot of people. So they're going to be helping us out on that virtual side to make sure that like the virtual attendees have that good experience. And then once we go full virtual, it's like, okay, cool. Like it's going to be full virtual programming. And like, just make sure that everything's all like as good as it can be for like that virtual experience. So I'm probably in the future, probably only going to do like just smaller like meetups for people that like are in my community and stuff like that.
Yeah. Are you gonna do like the VR thing, like where people make like little avatars and they're like kind of like walk around like the virtual?
Nah, spot? We're not gonna do that. I don't really like that experience. Mm-hmm. I feel like it like takes away from what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because like you're not really there, and it's like everybody doesn't have like Oculus and things like that, you know. So no, it's not going to be like the whole like, you know, VR type experience with the little avatars and stuff.
Yeah. So the kind of reel this back in to the foundation of Bees. We were talking earlier how people just see you now versus you back then.
Right, right.
Like please explain these people like how you started. Like even like I was looking at your LinkedIn. I see you start off more so in software engineering as interns, and then you started pivoting to what you was going to do because maybe you didn't care for software engineering as much. But like, please like tell these people like how you was even able to do that. And like, you're just a person just like everybody else that just started. Like how everybody
I started
else
in help desk.
Yeah.
That's why I literally started in help desk. Right. So my first internship at 16 was a help desk internship. And so that first internship was help desk. And my second internship was help desk, even though I was in school for computer science. Like, I did not know how to code like whatsoever. I did not know how to code until like almost going into my junior year. So, of course, I wasn't going to try to go after any type of software engineering internship. But I was able to like I knew about some companies in the DMV where if you work there, you get sponsored for clearance. So I ended up getting an internship at this one credit union where everybody at the credit union has to have a clearance. So I got the help desk internship there. And I ended up working there for almost 2 years before I went over to working for the Air Force. And when I worked for them, it was supposed to be like software engineer or computer science trainee, but it was really like the title was electronics engineer. And we were doing a lot of like PM work, you know, for the government, you're not really doing the technical stuff. So we were doing kind of a lot of PM system engineering type work. And then after that, I ended up going to Northrop Grumman as a cyber software engineer. So, working at these different companies and doing all that. Only reason why I even got into computer science, obviously, is because of the money, right? So I wanted to be able to make good money. So then I started working out, like once I graduated, I was an embedded software engineer. And then from there, like my whole goal the entire time was just to get overseas. So I never enjoyed programming. Like, and I saw something either on TikTok or I can't remember where I was watching it at, but somebody was saying like, you know, majority of software engineers, like they don't code for fun. They only do it for work. I was that type of person. Like I'm not coding for fun and making projects for fun outside of work. So I was always looking for how can I get overseas and, you know, how can I do something that is not going to require me to code? Like I haven't coded for real since 2017. Right. Nowadays, if I am doing any code, it's all no code like solutions, no code or utilizing Claude or utilizing Lovable, stuff like that, you know, vibe coding, basically.
Yeah. And while you were talking, I thought about something else that we could touch on, because I know you started out as a student athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
You realize like, hey, like these people make more than, you know, WNBA. And we're still seeing that today. But I also wanted to talk about, when we think about most student athletes, a lot of them are, some of them, these almost like a small percentage of them actually going to go to the league where they play NBA,
very
overseas,
small,
ball,
overseas, wherever,
NFL.
Yeah.
After that, all of them have some generic, hey, I'm in kinesiology, I'm in this
communications,
and that.
Communication, sports medicine, it happens
sometimes
all the time.
Sometimes they do business or marketing, sometimes.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and then even a lot of them get just general, like the general education degrees, which you can't do anything with. Yeah.
Why is it important that athletes need to start thinking about life off the court of the field in college, and why they should actually think about going into a STEM major? I know, granted, it is tough on their schedule.
It's hard.
But a lot of y'all who third, fourth string, some of y'all know, I already know y'all not going to the league. So y'all might as well go ahead and get a good major. No, for real.
No, I know you're serious. But what's funny is I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, dang, a lot of people slept on themselves in college. A lot of people don't like.
I mean, you know, I put those Instagram reels out and stuff like that. They get so pissed off at me anytime, even on Twitter. I'm like, hey, you got to give up your hoop dreams way earlier, way sooner. Like, there's no reason why you're 35, you still have hoop dreams. You got to give that up by like 24 at the latest. Like, you need to give it up and focus on like an actual career, right? And then even like a lot of people, I see it a lot with women basketball players, like they'll go to like coaching and stuff like that. And like, you know, they're not the best paying jobs. And it's just like, you got to focus on building a career outside of sports when you know that you're not going to either go to the league in the States or overseas. And then even if you go overseas, it don't mean you're going to make a lot of money, right? The like good players, they'll make a lot of money overseas, but average players, I mean, you're going to be making the same type of money you would make if you was working a job paying you $40,000 a year in the States.
Yeah.
So, but you're going to be in way worse conditions. So I just feel like, you know, once you give up the hoop dreams and you like reality sets in, I mean, you just really got to think about your life. Like, everybody can't play ball forever. And that's just a fact.
And they're not.
Yeah. Like, the average professional career or tenure is only 3.5 years. Yeah. So even if you do make it to the league in the States, you're lucky if you even make it to 4 years. So what are you going to do after ball is over? And you're not going to make enough money to be able to retire off of 4 years of pay.
Yeah, no, for sure. And
not the way they spend.
The WNBA, they pay scale so bad that I have never seen a person after their first year start a podcast. And like when Angel Reese started like a podcast, so I was like, that's how you know. Like,
yeah, she got not, the right people on her
yeah,
team.
But Angel Reese, she did it because you make way more money doing your own stuff.
Right.
If you have your own media platform, you'll make way more money. Exactly. Same, you seen it with the Stud Buds, right? The Stud Buds, they were, you know, they were streaming everything at the WNBA All-Stars. They had like, I think, 20,000 average viewers on Twitch. Like, they probably ended up bringing in that month. I don't know how they got like their ads and stuff set up. Some of them really spammed ads on Twitch, but they probably ended up making six figures that month.
Yeah.
Just off Twitch ads, which is more than what they're probably going to make for the whole season for the WNBA.
Yeah, for sure.
And so people were saying like, oh yeah, you know, they need a partner with the WNBA. And it's like, no, yeah. Like, it's about ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah, you own your own stuff. You create your own media platform. And then even with social media too, right? So Angel Reese, she got her podcast. She's getting brand deals. She's doing all this type of stuff. She's modeling, right? You have a life outside of ball. You cannot play ball until you're 60. Like, you just can't.
Right. And you've even seen it with a lot of the girls that left LSU. Like, some of them are not in a better predicament.
Yeah.
Because they chased it. Like you said, maybe a little bit too far.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's not bad to chase your dreams. It's just you need to have a backup plan, right? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, you need to have a backup plan. For me, I could not do computer science and ball. Like, and my knees were really bad. Like, I started playing ball, I think, at like 4 years old or something. Like, I played ball literally my whole life. And if I would have gone and did AAU, I probably would have went way further in my career too. So I don't, y'all not from the area, but
I know AAU.
Okay, yeah. So in the DMV, you know Tierra Ruffin Pratt?
Mm-mm.
You probably don't know her. She used to play for the Mystics, but we from the same area. I was supposed to play on the same basketball team, the AAU team, as her, Boo Williams. I was supposed to play with them, and my dad was like, "I'm not paying for that," right? And literally, I consider that as a big kind of like shift in my life, where I went basketball wise too. But I just say that to say that you have to have a backup plan. Like, you can't just only put all your eggs in one basket. And people be surprised. I got WNBA players, NFL players, NBA players that reach out to me asking me how they can get into tech.
Yeah. I believe you.
I've had consults with like former athletes and stuff too, because like they never thought about like, hey, what's next for the next 30, 40 years of my life that's going to, you know, pay me a decent career.
Yeah, there was a former NBA player at GovTechCon last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, a lot of the NBA teams and like, for example, my girl Gabby actually works for the NBA. She is a, I think she's a, what's she, a technical program manager now, but she started off like doing software engineering and stuff.
Mm.
And all these NBA teams and NFL teams, they all have like tech people that work for the company.
Yep. Yeah, they're very so tech heavy.
They have to, especially I think about these the games, the facilities, the
it's
ads,
all tech,
everything.
Yeah, it's all tech. It's all AV tech, media, all of that. Like even like the comms people, you know, that's where they thrive in situations like that. But you know, it's all tech. So they definitely, like, if you look up the different teams, you'll see the different tech roles that they have there.
For sure. And then that made me, our conversation right here just also made me think about a time people got mad at me. It's like back when I used to post them on Facebook. I was like, hey, when your kid going to school, forget them chasing the passion. Make them pick a degree that's going to make them some money. Once they make the money, they can find a passion later.
Yeah.
And people got mad at that. But I'm like, you're going to be broke chasing that passion and then be mad versus you should have just got a degree that's going to make you some money. Because like everybody not meant to be no nurse. Everybody not meant to be no teacher. Like, do something that you ain't got to have people, like, lives and livelihoods in jeopardy and get you a bag that way versus being mad. Like, hey, I'm going to use one on Anton's saying, ain't nobody say you go to school and do underwater basket knitting?
Yeah, no, literally. I think that a lot of people definitely should start thinking about that for their kids at a much younger age. Like, and things have changed a lot now, right?
I was going to say the same thing. We're more exposed to things that we were never exposed to. Like, growing up, I didn't know anyone who worked in tech. So I found out when I was an adult that my granddad was an engineer. And then I was like, well, why didn't you share those details? Why didn't you tell me that? How didn't I know you were an engineer? Or even like my dad, he did a lot of cabling and he knew how to do all that kind of stuff. And so I think it's important for you to expose your kids to different things so that they can find an interest. You know, if all you take them around are folks who are doing nothing, then they don't have the exposure to know that, okay, what is project management or what is software engineering or what is biology, whatever it may be. But the more exposure you get, the more you're open to things. Send them to a tech boot camp. Who cares if they never really thought about it before? It might spark an interest for them.
Right. Yeah. Tech boot camps, conferences, right? There's like NSBE's got all the like PCI chapters for the young kids and stuff like that. There's Black Girls Code. Shout out to them over at Black Girls Code. Like there's a lot of different organizations that have things for kids growing up. And you definitely have to make sure that you're exposing your kid to this stuff. And I know like even in the DMV, like, and this is why I started really talking about GovTech more, is that you would be in an area and people would be working in tech. And I would see it all the time. Like somebody asked them like, oh, how you get into tech? They wouldn't tell you. Like, so they literally would not tell you, or they just be like, oh yeah, you know, or they just say, oh, I just work for the government, right? Or I just do some tech stuff. Like they wouldn't really go in depth and tell people how to do it. So, and that was kind of like an old head thing, right? I used to argue with them all the time. Like, man, y'all don't share any info.
That's all they did.
Yep.
That's the reason like people complain.
The OG gatekeepers.
Yeah. They always talk about us like, fam, we doing y'all a favor.
This wasn't
YouTube. Wasn't no black people on YouTube telling you how to get no tech career.
No, people don't understand. We're definitely doing them a favor. And that's why like I find it really funny because people think like we owe them something, but we really don't. Like you could stop doing all of this and our life would be just fine because we still work in our careers, right? Now, not everybody's still working their careers, but the people that do still work in their careers would be just fine if you're like, you know what? I don't ever want to make another podcast again, or I don't ever want to make another post again or another YouTube video again. I'm just going to focus on my life. And I've been seeing people talk about that on TikTok. They're like, oh, what happened to all the black women who work in tech?
I'm glad you brought
it
up.
We just talked about that last podcast.
Look.
I have I want to kind of circle back. So you said something earlier that I want to circle back to, which kind of relates to what we're just chatting about. So you've been in this industry for a while, right?
Yeah.
And you have a pretty large following. So how important is it for you to keep certain things private? Like we said, employers, for example, or other things in your life. Like, how important is it and when did you learn that?
Oh, I learned that early. Like, if you've been on Twitter, you know black people been getting other black people fired from their job for over 10 years now. So I already knew, like, one, don't ever tell where you work at. And because, you know, I'm in GovTech, don't ever talk about, like, what you actually do at work. Don't even get close to even saying anything, alluding anything. Don't talk about none of that stuff. And then honestly, like, I've always learned, like, what you truly love, you need to keep it off the internet, because people are going to try to either attack it or try to break it down, or they want to see you fail, right? Like, it's so crazy that that's just how people are. It's just a lot of, like, crabs in a bucket mentality, and you just got to avoid it, like, at all costs.
No, that's facts. I mean, even then, going back to, like, hey, like, and not, I noticed, like, a Silicon Valley thing and other places, like, hey, y'all be showing y'all badges too much. Like,
yep. I had called out, this one girl was trying to come at me one time. She was really young. She was interning at NASA, and she made a TikTok in the NASA building. And she put, like, at the beginning of TikTok was her badge at the front of the TikTok, and she's recording in the building. And I was just like, I had stitched it, and I was like, yo, I just want to let y'all know, like, I know y'all Gen Zers, you should not be, one, recording at work. You should never do that. Two, you should not be putting, like, your work badge for everybody to see on these videos, right? You don't have to expose everything, right? Like, even in the day in my tech life type videos, right? You don't have to really show people what you're doing at work. You don't have to record in the office or anything like that, because everybody's like, oh, well, I want to see what you do on a day to day. Why do you want to see me typing on a computer?
Yeah, and you can't actually. Actually, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't really see what I do.
Yeah, you can't really see what I do.
And like, I think that is the thing.
Yeah.
Is you can't.
Right.
I can... Like you said, I can show you typing and sending some emails, but what is that doing?
Right? Nothing.
Yeah. Everybody's sending emails every day. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sending messages back and forth and communicating with their team, but you can't.
Right.
Yeah. And if you do it, you have to know how to do it. Like, before I ever did mine years ago, I knew exactly how I was going to do it, and I knew exactly what I was going to cover up. Like, I did stuff like, I think I just pretty much double stacked the tracks, made sure I had a good blur on there. I didn't talk about it, and I kind of just had text saying what I was doing. And even the calls that I took, I just pitched it up, and you don't really know what we're talking about. And that was the perfect way. It was like nothing that showed who I worked for,
but people, who my client was. You're strategic. You've been doing this. People are not.
Yeah,
they just get the job, and they're like,
want the clout.
Exactly. They get the job, and they're like, well, I'm going to do a day in the life, too.
Right.
And then you do that day in the life, and it gets you a day in the life fired.
Yeah,
because Business Insider just had an article on that.
Yeah, I ain't see it, but Erica, she makes a lot of, I think, data analysis content on TikTok. She had just posted a video yesterday saying that a day in a life video got her fired from one of her jobs.
I actually seen that video. Yep.
So yep. I was DMing her today, and I'm just like, I just want people to know, don't let social media, like, trick you out of your spot, because
it will.
It will. And I told her too, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of your followers wasn't the person that reported you.
For right. Sure.
Because the companies, yes, they might be paying attention, but like, if it was a very, very specific video, because that's what she said. She was like, yeah, I had blurred out all this type of stuff.
And I think she said it was one piece. Yeah, it was just like he said, he thought about, you know, he was being strategic with it, and she thought she was as well, but it was one word or conversation or something. And you have to think about it. There are people who are watching, trying to figure out what you do. So not even necessarily to get you fired, but to be abusive in the mind of a bad actor, right?
Yeah, right.
And so it's a risk.
Yeah, because people don't realize that even if you don't work in GovTech, if you work at a company, what you're doing is confidential internally to the company.
Yes.
So it's like, you can't just go out there showing everything. That's why it's like, even if you see me make any content right now, it's at my house. Like, I work in person. And people didn't know that. Like, I had posted like it was funny. I, like, you know, TikTok, they'll do like a on this day type thing, like from years ago. So I had like a video from August 2023 pop up from when I had did like a day in my life when I was working remotely at another company working at Exonius, right? And so that came up, I reposted it, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, on this day, summer 2023, I said, yeah, maybe one day I'll go back to like working fully remote, but right now, like, I'm fully in the office, right? And somebody was like, oh, I didn't even know that you lived in Atlanta. You know, I don't live in Atlanta full time anymore. Like, I just still have my properties there and stuff like that. I actually live in Texas, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, people, they really don't know, right? But they will pay attention to everything that you're doing.
They want
to
find out and how to run into you and Hayden. And, oh, look what they said, or you know, it's always a mess when it comes to social media in general.
Oh, and I heard they hate me on Facebook. People used to send it to me. I said, please just stop sending me this stuff. Like, on Facebook, I'll post something, whether it's a thread or, like, a reel or something. And they're like, they tearing you up on Facebook. I'm like, they literally obviously they don't work in tech. Right. Like,
they behind anyway they on stop, Facebook.
Yeah, I'm Facebook like, Facebook is behind.
Yes,
groups.
Like, they're literally...
I left out of a black IT group because it's like, I shared... For one, they would never just click on a video and watch it.
Right.
I was doing it like... See,
they're not going to do that.
It was like the episode I did with me and Miranda. And I had to change our thumbnail because I think I made it a little too hot for her. But these people, instead of clicking, all they did was just tell me how...
It's a lie.
It's a lie. And they didn't watch it. Or like, they didn't... The dudes just went off the initial thumbnail. They just went off the initial thumbnail and then watched the video. And I said, if you watch the video through and through, you explain how I got to the number I said she was making. And they didn't watch it. Instead,
they're not
it was
gonna
just,
watch it.
I was like, bro, y'all.
They're not gonna watch it. Most people, they're just looking to call cap on everything. They think everybody lying. They think everybody making up stuff. And that's why I said, like, people, they have it really good now. Like, because nobody used to talk about this stuff, right? The old heads never used to talk about it. That's what I said. I used to argue with them. But now that I'm getting older, I see exactly why they did that, right? Because I'm getting to the point now, too, where, of course, I'll still make the YouTube videos and stuff like that. But there's going to be a point in time where I stop doing it, right? Because people will harass you on social media. They will badger you. You know, again, like I said, they try to get people fired from their job.
We've seen it all the time on X. I'm like, why are y'all like, trying to report
time
people?
For it, right. I don't have time for it. And I don't care. Right. So it's like people... One, they should really appreciate what they have now, because at some point, the only thing they're going to be able to do is watch old YouTube videos and old podcasts, and that's it, and be wishing that people still gave out information. I know so many people who, like, really got some real game who have literally completely stopped giving out all game because of how people are online, and then they're like, oh, everybody gatekeeping. No, I mean, y'all did this, like... Again, I think people fail to realize, like, we don't have to do this, right? Because we are making the money we're saying. We are doing the stuff that we're saying that we're doing. Yeah. So once we decide, like, all right, well, I don't want to put up with this no more. I mean, that's that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And not to mention, like you said, you don't talk about your current job. My job says private just because people try to go through and see or whatever. Yep. And you just like, I made some content. When I went to a conference, it was not for, it was, well, work sent me there. But I said nothing work-related on that thing.
Yep.
Never who I work for.
Yeah,
and HR was telling me, well, she was quitting at the time. She's a black woman. She was cool. She went on board with me. She was letting me know, like, hey, they do be watching your channel, so keep doing what you're doing by, like, not mentioning nothing. I said, I know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't mention who you work for ever. Like, never. I don't even care. Like, even if I was working at, like, a FANG, and, you know, they're kind of more lenient on it, I would never, ever mention it.
Yeah, because that's not bringing jealousy.
A lot of people lead with it for the clout.
Yep.
And then that's kind of where it...
Yep.
Becomes a curse and a blessing.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's why I had to tell my company. I'm like, me working for y'all don't do anything for me with what I talk about, right? Like, I don't need to lead with, oh, I work at XYZ, so you should listen to me.
Exactly.
I don't need to lead with that.
A lot of people try to, like...
But a lot of people have to.
Yeah.
They do that to make themselves feel credible.
I mean, technically you don't have to, but it's a choice they make.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they do it to make themselves feel more credible. And it's like... If your information is valuable, it really don't matter where you work at. Like, you could just say, like, oh, yeah, I work at a FANG company, but, like, you don't have to say which one, or I work in big tech, or I work in a specific industry, but you don't have to say, oh, I work at this company in every single video. Like, to me, that's just making it hot for you.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do it, because the way that things are now, companies, they look at that as you trying to use their name,
or
their
likeness.
Brand, their likeness to like elevate your stuff and to profit off of it. And if, like, once you start doing that, now they got to start approving everything that you do. So, like, even when people, like, speak, right? Like, you know, Kanika Tova, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that she does, she works for the federal government, but everything she does when she goes and speaks, she does it under her own business, right? And then even me, anytime I go speak, all it says is GovTechCon founder. That's it. Like, I don't say nothing about my job or anything like that.
Yep. Same. I might tell you, like, what I do and kind of, like, the role, but not
where.
Yeah,
the role, but, yeah, not where.
Yeah, nah, for sure. And speaking of that, I actually want to talk about something else, right? Because I think our people say is, it's like, you can't do it, you don't. You know what I'm saying? I think you got, and people going to, like, say, I'm trying to see what they're going to say, what word it's going to be. They're going to try to treat me like Ma from Warrior Ma when I say this. But you probably is probably like the Drake attack. Because with bees, it's like, it's damn you do, damn you don't. All she do is talk about money. All she do is show this. All she do is show that.
They don't pay attention to nothing else.
It's never, they never
no,
say.
No, they don't pay attention to nothing else. No, I will say this. That's what grabbed their attention.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's all there is.
Oh, they don't pay attention to nothing else. I'm telling you, because they still think that I say, get a security plus and get into cybersecurity, right? And I've never said that, like we were talking about at the beginning, right? So all they do is pay attention to, oh, the cars, the money. And to me, there's only certain videos that I make that have the cars and the money. But like, I'll post 3-4 videos a day of me literally just sitting down on my phone, just talking, giving out information. Those videos.
But that's what they took from it, not that. They didn't get the info.
They want to gravitate towards the money.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Those videos don't even get views like that.
But that's on them. That's what caught their attention.
Right. Right, right.
It didn't catch your attention when I was spitting the game.
Right. Yeah, because like those videos, the ones that I make where I'm just answering people's questions, like people, they'll comment on TikTok and I'll respond back to them. Those videos, they hardly ever get over on TikTok. They hardly ever get over 5,000 views. On IG, they rarely get over 20,000 views, right? People, they just don't care. Like the videos that do get the views are the ones where it's either like, I'm doing a short little like meme, or if I'm doing a video where it's like, you know, showing like some lifestyle clips or something like that with some game over it, that's what gets the views. Even when it comes to the video that blew up and I got the most views from, that video was the one where like, I didn't notice at the time, but like, it was like a meme on TikTok. Like, oh, if you got so much money, do a money spread. That response, like that video that I did, that's the one that got the most views. And all it is me talking about stuff that I bought while from working overseas, right? Like showing my car, showing my condo, showing the jewelry, Rolex, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what got the most views. But it's like, but I don't make videos like that every day.
They're not looking for the game. They're looking to see.
No, but I'm saying
they're looking. That's what it is. They want to see what that person has, because if you got the Rolex, if you got the cars, if you got the properties, I'm going to follow you more, not for the game, but just to see what you're doing.
Right.
Because you don't really want the game. The game was there before.
Right.
This.
The game been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm going to land a plane. I'm going to land a plane with my analogy, right? So when it comes to Drake, he popped, this how he rap, whatever. They don't listen to the albums. They don't know the album cuts. They don't even know, like, hey, most of the stuff he rapped about eventually come true in like 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
So they never look at that stuff. So when it comes to her, they don't look about the either work she did, the Gov Tech come. They don't look at, like, within her community, the people she's helped get on to GovTech, is nothing about them people whose lives she helped change.
Nothing, ever.
It's never. Always just about like what she's doing, but the same people who are always hating, what are they doing?
Nothing.
Like looking for the next video for you to post. What
looking
you just
for
want.
The next rage bait so they can make the money off Twitter.
Yeah. No, literally. That man, that's why, you know how many people I got to block back a day on Twitter? I probably block back like 10 to 15 people per day, because what they'll do on Twitter, I don't know why Elon changed this, but he changed it to where if you block somebody, they can still see, like you can still see everything from that person that you block. You can still quote them. You can still do all that. So what people will do is they'll block me, talk trash, and then I can't respond back. So like anytime I see somebody that got me blocked, I got to spend my day going through blocking those people back on the timeline, because like they do it just to go viral. Yeah. Like, and it's crazy.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is like, they must need it, because it's like, it ain't like they finna just get that much money from it unless you just really, you just do some crazy numbers and all of a sudden you finna get you a good Twitter check.
Twitter hardly pays anything. Like I would say maybe like off of 10 million views, you might get maybe $50 if you're lucky. Maybe. And it's that, like, that's just one tweet, right? Every tweet's not going to pop off like that.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
If you had to retire from this industry today, what do you want your legacy to be?
I mean, I already retired once. But
second
if I
time.
Had to retire again, if I had to retire again, I guess because things are different now, for sure. Got, you know, a lot more things have happened. I would say I would want my legacy to be definitely like GovTechCon, right? Even though like the future years are going to be virtual, but like the meetups that we do, the partnerships that I have with like Fearless, I would definitely want that to be a part of the legacy, like the community work that we do. Like at the end of the day, I'll be completely honest. There's nobody that's made more black people six figures than me, like straight up. So I want my legacy to be that, hey, you know, she did things that impacted the whole community to help people make six figures. And then they went on to help more people make six figures. So for me, That's a good enough legacy, right? Like I said, to me, I feel like I could stop everything that I'm doing and people would still be looking at my YouTube videos, looking at the tweets. Like, people still look for all that stuff. So I'm probably going to end off the legacy with like a book. That's my goal. Trying to get like a book deal. I have an idea for this book. And then I'll probably stop doing like all the coaching and all that stuff. Now I'll stop doing it. So yeah, people want me to stop. I'm going to retire from all this in a couple of years. I already got it planned. That's why I'm going back overseas.
She's going to be popping back out like every couple of months, like Jay-Z.
Yeah. With a video. I plan on being Jay-Z with it or Pusha T with it. Pop out every blue moon like Pusha T. So
you've experienced obviously a lot of wins, but can you share with the viewers how important it is to still remain up to date, your skill set? Is there anything new that you're diving into or honing your skills in?
Yeah, I mean, so the type of work that I do is a little bit different. Like, the systems that I work on, they're older, so they're not changing that often, right? They might change like every 10 years. I would say, like, in terms of like, you know, skills and like upskilling, depending on like your industry and stuff like that, you need to, or what type of career you work in, you definitely want to make sure that you're paying attention to, I would say like conferences are the best kind of way to know, like whether it's like a specific conference to like that platform that you're niche with, see like what is it that they're coming out with and the new technologies that they're using, and anything new that they're coming out with, you need to be up to date with it. And then in terms of just overall keeping up with the industry, right? One of the best ways to do it is literally just to go look at job descriptions, right? So even if you got a job right now, you could go look at a job description and see, okay, what skills, what tools, what technologies, what certs are these companies asking for? Because that's what's in demand today, right? Because even if you got hired last year, they could be looking for a whole different like skill set the very next year. But if you're not constantly looking, you're not going to know what's in demand or not. So that's something that's really important. And I feel like a lot of people should always be interviewing. Like, even if you're not interested in leaving your company, if you consistently interview, it always is going to keep your skills sharp. And it lets you know, like, if you really have like current day value in the marketplace.
Yeah. Not only that, I mean, even when it comes to the interviewing, that's how you really just not caught off guard. Like you said, you find stuff out, change. Like, I always, when I look at LinkedIn, the doom and gloom, I'm like, what was y'all doing when y'all was working there all these years? I just thought y'all was
they just relaxing. And
we don't have pensions more. Like, you can't even like get comfortable like
but
that
imagine
at any company
you've been
anymore.
There for 10 years. You haven't interviewed in 10 years. Do you think you're going to go ace the next first few rounds
and
of
then,
interviews?
So,
doing?
Like, this is the issue like a lot of people run into, because like I work with people. I got people on my team. They've been at the company 30 years, some 10, 15, 20. The issue is that in the event that you are let go, you didn't really do anything probably after probably like, let's say the first 5 years you did stuff. The last 5 years you coasted.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to apply for roles that technically you are overqualified for. And so you get denied to entry and mid-level because you should be applying to a director, regional director, all those type of roles, but you don't have the credentials for it because you didn't do anything at work. So now you're rocking the hard place.
Yeah, I talked about that on Twitter the other day because I had saw a tweet where somebody was saying like, oh, you know, for entry level roles, your competition is senior level people, people with master's degrees, people who have, you know, maybe clearances and stuff like that. And it's not really the case, right? Like in any level where you are, right? Like, if you are overqualified and you're applying to roles that you're overqualified for, you are not that person's competition, because the company is not going to hire a senior level person for an entry level role. And just like you said, that's why, you know, people, they're trying to go for these roles that are either where they've been at coasting all these years, like maybe they were mid-level all these years and they got 15 years experience and you still applying for mid-level roles. Just like you said, you should be applying for senior level roles. So if you apply for those mid-level roles, you're overqualified, and then your skills don't align to the skills that they're looking for. You didn't get any certs, you didn't get any degrees, none of that. So it's like, I think that a lot of people, they need a lot of help with their career strategy. And that's also why I created like my second YouTube channel. It's more for technical professionals, like just so they understand the career strategy. Because I see it all the time on Twitter where like to me, it's like career 101, but I think it's probably because, like, you know, I'm really good at it. You help people with it as well. It's like, to me, it looks like career 101, but to other people, like, they don't realize that, right? Like, so, for example, there's people that are trying to transition into tech, and they got a master's degree, and they're going for entry-level tech roles. You're overqualified. They will never hire you. You got to delete your master's degree from the resume, because they're not going to give you a chance at all, right? One, they're going to think you want to ask for, like, way more that's out of budget. Mm-hmm. And then two, they're just going to look at you like, okay, well, even if we do give this person an opportunity, the first chance they get to get a job that's really what they want, that's really at the pay they want, they're going to leave. So, you know,
and they will.
Yeah, they're going to leave, right? That's everybody's logic. Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to work this job till I get something better. If you're thinking like that, you got to know the companies know you're thinking like that. So they're not going to waste their time hiring somebody, because it's expensive to hire somebody. So if you hire someone and then they leave 3 months later, then, like, the companies don't want to go through that cycle. So mm-hmm. you're going to be unemployed for a very long time.
Yeah, that's a reason why some people, they can't get into like a help desk role.
Yeah,
because they're telling them in the interview, yeah, I'm trying to get in cyber. And so they know. The first chance you get,
you gone.
So you need to make them believe you're trying to stay there for 5 years and do help desk.
Yeah.
You actually need to make them think you're down on your knuckles and you're just grateful.
Yeah, exactly.
They love those.
Yeah. Or it's just like you just focusing on what you can do to help this company right now in this role, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the big thing about interviews that I think people don't realize is, like, your main objective in an interview is to just show that company and that team how you're going to provide value, how you're going to help them solve the problems that they're already facing, and just like, you know, that you're a good culture fit and you're going to be a good fit with that team. But if you're going in there and you're like, it's a help desk job, and you're talking about, oh yeah, you know, I'm just trying to do this because I want to get into cyber. Well, they're not going to hire you.
First of all, that ain't even nothing you should be saying.
No.
That's talking too much.
Yeah, that's why I said career 101.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody, like I said, you have people.
You're right. Everybody don't know that.
They don't know.
Right? You might be first gen, first one in the family doing something big.
Yeah.
Everybody feel like, you know, YouTube is their answer, but YouTube don't keep you accountable. And you're going to have to search and curate stuff in a way that it's going to have to be beneficial for you. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people be stuck on YouTube University. We've seen people on X right now who still trying to get it either GovTech or cybersecurity or whatever for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Ain't willing to invest nothing in their life. They just trying to beg around and see who can hire them. Or they got a couple of certs and they're supposed to get in.
Yeah, I mean, that or like I got a completely free course on YouTube. I got two now. I got the more entry-level one. I got a more entry level one, and then I also have the one for like tech professionals, right? So I got two free courses on there, and literally I got people that have watched the free course, done everything I said in there, and went and got a job. But again, the issue is people, what they do is they will maybe watch a video for 5 minutes, pick and choose what they think is what they need. Then they'll go and grab some information from somebody else doing something completely unrelated, try to take all that, and they're confused at why they can't get a job. It's like, one, you're using multiple people's strategy. Like, is this person even working the type of job, or are they giving you advice on what you're trying to do? Right. And that's the thing with my content. People can't separate the two. I make content for people who are trying to get into GovTech. And I make content for people who are already working in tech or already working in GovTech and trying to get to the next level, right? So they can't separate the two. They think everything all the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's different strategies for based on where you are and what you're trying to do. And I forgot where I was doing a podcast last week.
With Chris, I did a podcast last week,
and he was like, you know, I noticed you're talking a lot about just IT in general. And I'm like, yes, because people that are brand new, they don't know what they want to do. Like, everything's so trendy. They just see a video pop up on TikTok. They see a little bit of the lifestyle, whatever. They're like, yeah, I want to do that. But you really don't know because you've never worked in tech before.
That is so true.
Yeah, and that's why it's better for them. Come in entry level, get some experience, start talking to your coworkers and seeing like, okay, oh, this person's a network engineer. Let me talk to them, see what they do in their day to day. How do they get there and stuff like that? Oh, this person's a software engineer. Oh, this person's in cyber. Talk to them and see, but don't just be so gung ho on like, yes, I'm going to be a cybersecurity engineer, because you don't even know what that life is like. And I'll be honest with you. Most people that I know in cyber, they don't enjoy it. I'm gonna be straight up. They like, it's boring. All I'm doing is looking at logs and notifications. Like, but you won't know until you get in there. So just get your foot in the door, entry level role, figure it out, see what it's really like. Cause again, you're not gonna get a real damn my tech life video showing you what's really happening on a day to day in any of these roles. Like, it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, I did an IT support A+ style bootcamp, mm-hmm. and I did drop out, but mm-hmm. it taught me so much. I feel like I would not be maybe where I'm at if I didn't have that exposure and experience, because it was very hands-on with building stuff, putting stuff together, taking this apart. But that was, you don't know. Yeah, so when I graduated, my degree was, I thought I was going to do pen testing, and then I took the class.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even, keep me away from it.
Yeah.
I'm so bored.
I got that all mapped out on the top. It
was literally, yeah, I thought, right after graduation, you said, you don't know. You take all these courses.
Yep.
You're not really sure. I was gung-ho. Oh, I'm doing pen testing. They're making all the money. I'm doing that. And I got in the class and I was like, this is the most boringest class I've taken here.
Yeah, and you find out that pen testers, they get paid, but honestly,
there's more money to be made.
On the defensive side, they actually getting paid more than the pen testers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless you really like are working at a company where it's like, okay, you are that go-to pen tester person. Maybe it's like a smaller company where it's like you're doing most of their penetration testing. They're going to pay you.
You got your own
contracts. But it's just like people, they just got to realize that when you're in that phase of really trying to figure out what you want to do in your career, you're going to take some courses. You might maybe buy into like some boot camps or whatever. Maybe you take some like, I don't know, hopefully you don't start a degree and you're like, I don't like this. But like, you're going to try out some things and you're not going to like it. Everything's not going to be what you think it is, but you won't know until you really like dive into it. And that's why I just keep telling people, like, stop trying to go so deep. Like, that's why I talk about GovTech as an industry as a whole. You never hear me just cyber. No, I talk about GovTech. And GovTech, it's all types of tech jobs. It's help desk, cyber, software, UX design, data, AI, mm-hmm. everything. Like, literally everything's in this industry. Yeah. So
now you said that, I actually wanted to ask you, because you have been harping on to IT stuff. So like, with somebody wanting to get, let's say, for instance, they first help desk job right now, mm-hmm. right? Stuff is slightly different than it was 15 years ago. What would be like the top five things you think they should get? Even though we know that some people can get stuff for the bare minimum, but mm-hmm. what would be like the top five things you think they should get to get like a help desk role?
Yeah, I love that you say that. I love that you say things are different 15 years ago. That's another misconception people have of me. Oh, well, she talk about help desk. Well, she got in a help desk 16 years ago. I help people get in a help desk every day today, right? So I know what works. So with the people that are getting the help desk today, it's literally the same thing that I say, right? They need to learn the foundational computer information first, mm-hmm. like understand software, hardware. You don't have to become a network pro, like, but learn the basis of networking, learn the basis of virtual machines, ticketing systems, mm-hmm. Active Directory. Once you learn all those things, you don't need to go get a certification. But if you're like gung-ho on getting a certification, I say get the ITF Plus. It's not going to help you get a job, but it's cheap. It's like $126. And that's the cert that the military uses to weed out people on if they should work in IT or work in cyber or if they shouldn't. So like, if you're gung-ho on a cert, you could start with that, but really you could skip it. I still recommend to this day Security Plus, right? So with the Security Plus certification, you should know enough from Security Plus to be able to get an entry level IT job, right? Like, mm-hmm. You can work help desk, you can work IT support, right? If you got those foundational skills. Also make sure that you're doing labs on TryHackMe, doing labs on YouTube about all of those different skills that I said before. And really the big key about all of this, it comes down to your resume. It comes down to your interviewing skills, and it comes down to how you're applying, right?
Yep.
And that's really the whole big thing. And like, when it comes to like career coaching, people don't see the value in it, but it's like, well, if you've been applying for jobs, you ain't been hearing anything back, then your resume is an issue. If you've been getting into interviews, you never get any job offers, your interview skills are an issue. Or also, even if you've been applying to jobs and you just keep getting denied, maybe you're not applying to jobs fast enough, right? So, I mean, you really got to be on it. Like, for people that want to get a job, entry level IT today, You got to make sure you're applying to jobs within the first week of them being posted. Mm-hmm. I recommend the first few days. Like I tell everybody that works with me, they know you need to be applying to jobs every single day, at least 10 jobs a day. And that tweet went viral.
I know. Look,
too.
I want to bring it up right here.
I don't understand why people were so upset with the tweet.
Let's read the tweet.
I think you got to be in the field to know what's going on with the market to understand the context behind what you said.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's just only just for tech. No, I think in general.
Because
the job market is fierce.
It's ugly.
Yeah, so like it literally is a numbers game, but you got to be quick. Like it can't be, oh, I'm applying to 10 jobs a day, but I'm applying to jobs that was posted 4 months ago. That job been filled.
It got to be recent jobs.
Yeah, it's got to be recent jobs. So, but if you do all those things, like, and it's a lot of stuff, but again, I got all this stuff on my YouTube, right? But like, if you do all those things, you get your Security Plus, you do the labs, you learn the foundational information, you get your resume right, you apply to 10 jobs a day, every single day for 30 to 60 days, you will get a job. And if you got to prepare for your interviews too, that's a big difference between tech and all these other jobs is that with tech, you can't just walk into an interview. It can't be like, oh, I got an interview on Thursday and you didn't prepare for it at all.
Oh, no.
A lot of people are walking into the interviews without preparing whatsoever. They get in there and the whole interview, all they're saying is, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I don't have experience with that. Oh, I don't know. And you wonder why you can't get a job. Like you have to prepare. So it's a lot that goes into it. But like I said, the people that work with me, they know we putting in the work. We're grinding. And that's why, you know, they're getting results.
No, facts. And for the people that's wondering what the tweet is, I'm going to start from the origin of it and then what you tweeted after that. So initially, this guy tweeted, I got laid off June 1st, 2023. I created a spreadsheet to track all the roles I've applied to. A year later, I've submitted 463 applications. And so Bees quoted that and said, this is less than 10 applications a week. I recommend people to apply to 10 jobs a day, if possible. They never looked at the if possible. And then she goes on to say, I think this was like the couple of days ago when you redid this, right?
I don't know.
But she said, this guy applied to 463 jobs in a year and landed none. I told him he should apply to 10 jobs a day, and the internet lost his mind. And then she had the thread of saying, like, this is how you get a job in tech in 2025.
Yeah. But people don't, they're not going to read that.
It's not 2023, first of all, or whenever that happened. It is way more aggressive out here because you are competing with people who been laid off, people who are qualified, people who are overqualified.
Yep.
It's not just you in a pool with people that are like you.
Yep.
You're in
a
pool
with AI. Everybody got AI tools automatically applying too.
That, but when we talk about this, because it's funny, we talking about the Workday against who, because they've been using HireScore AI. And I was talking to my homie the other day, driving. He was like, yeah, man, I need to look at my resume, man. I know it's good, but I think it could be better. I got rejected from like a lot of joints. And I was like, where? I said, what system did you apply on? He said, man, most of them joints is Workday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I will give a lot of the people that apply, say some of that is, you know, Workday, but there are ways to circumvent Workday if you know how to network and maneuver the right way with LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm like 50-50. I think sometimes depending, because I think where people also mess up at is they applying to jobs that they credentials don't fit for.
Yeah.
So they mass applying to stuff that they know they don't qualify for.
And they're applying using the same resume for 20 different roles that are looking at 20 different things. Sometimes you can use that same resume for multiple roles, but I think it's best to have a couple different versions of your resume per role that you're going to apply for, because it's going to be different.
Yeah, I agree. If you're trying to do GRC work, then use a GRC type of resume.
Yeah, but
don't try to apply with a SOC resume to GRC jobs.
Or cloud security. The skill set's different.
Right.
The platforms, the tools are different.
Everything's different. And so that's the main thing, right? That's the career strategy, right? It's like they're using the same resume to apply for everything. Like I recommend that people have three different resumes, typically what I say, and three different job titles that you're going after. Make resumes for each job title. And then based off of those resumes that you make, then you can go mass apply. Like, okay, you're mass applying for help desk. I'm mass applying for sysadmin. Mass applying for SOC analyst. Mm-hmm. But you have a specific resume for those job titles. So then that way it matches. But if you just using, I don't know, if you're using a SOC analyst resume trying to apply to everything, like
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. And then on top of that, too, like with Workday, and this was another thing that I saw recently, too, is that I thought that everybody knew that your resume has to have enough like keywords for it to get picked up in the ATS. A lot of people don't know that. Like, your resume really needs to be tailored. So when you make your resume, you need to have strategy where, okay, like, am I putting key skills on here that are most commonly going to come up on these job applications or the job descriptions? So that way, when I'm using this resume to apply, my resume is actually ranking high. That's why, like, I never heard of the name of the tool, but I heard that Workday was using an AI tool. And basically what it was like, I don't know all of it, but, you know, they use a tool to like score and rank the resumes based off of how it compares towards the keywords. But that's always been happening. They've always been doing that. Yeah. But I think they took it a step further with like discrimination.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. Because it was, so when I covered this, what was it, almost a couple of months ago, they were basing it off of the current employment that they had the company.
Yep.
And so that's how it was kind of coming up with the discrimination thing. So, yeah. Like, I don't know. I know nobody really likes Workday because you can have a perfect formatted resume, yet you still got to go in there and copy your stuff and put it in there.
Yeah.
And because it's not parsed, that lets you know it's not parsing everything correctly as well. So I think some people do have the keywords, but Workday is automatically messing it up. Like I said, I like Workday on the back end for my HR stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect. Applying? No. Like, just give us the attached resume button and let me apply.
Right.
With you guys kind of both looking at resumes, are you seeing that people are removing the soft skills and they're more focused on trying to show like their technical skill set and not any of those soft skills that are still important?
Yeah, I mean, people hardly have soft skills on their resume. Most people believe that soft skills aren't worth anything. So that like they don't even include that into the resume, and there's a way to put like your soft skills in with like, you know, your bullet points on these jobs, so then that way it's like you don't need like, because what you don't section. Don't want to have a soft skill section on a technical resume. You don't want to do that.
I see that all the time. I see people have hard working problem solving, all that in the technical spot.
Yeah, you don't
and
want
they
that.
Have it as their skills on LinkedIn. I said, let's remove all this junk.
Yeah,
we can show this in the interview on how you showcase these soft skills.
Yep.
I was like, because they not that's not in the description.
No. Well, I mean, it is like I know in GovTech a lot, it will say like, you know, do you pay attention to detail? Are you able to work well with other people? Can you work well with like customers as well? Like they'll ask you questions like that, but that's not something you want to put on your LinkedIn because no recruiter is searching. No recruiter is searching works well with others.
And it also
in LinkedIn,
it makes your resume seem juvenile.
Yes.
The certain words like you guys just say,
Yep. And that's a whole nother thing too. So like people, they'll have all the experience in the world, or they've worked in a job for a long time, but like their resume reads a certain way. So like I see this a lot with like help desk professionals, like that are trying to get out of help desk and they have a really hard time getting out because their resume literally reads like a help desk resume. Mm-hmm. So like it's almost impossible for you to get a job not in help desk if your resume literally like screams help desk, you know? So it's all about how you're able to kind of like format it, tailor it, and then just completely revamp it.
Go ahead.
What's a hot take that you have in this industry that maybe most people wouldn't agree with?
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's see what she's going to say.
I mean, I think I said the same thing with Chris's. It's not exactly the same, but I mean, my hot take is just that most people just aren't working hard enough to get a job. That's just the flat out truth. Like, they just aren't working hard enough. They aren't applying to enough jobs.
I'll piggyback off of that too.
Yeah.
I think my hot take is that, no, you don't need a degree, but a lot of people need to go to school if this is what they want to do because they just don't have it in them to do what needs to be done by themselves. They don't have that structure that you got 12 weeks to learn this material and that's it. They don't have that grit in them personally to propel them to where they're trying to be. Right. That's my hot take.
I'm glad you brought that
up. I didn't say you have to have a degree. I didn't say that. I said most people.
No, but I'm glad you brought up a degree because people hate every time I say something about WGU. And I'm like,
I don't know why it's all certs.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you're in the field already, go get it. It's a checkbox.
But I think that people get especially if they haven't taken any of those certs. Like, if you're in the field, you'll be shocked, but when you go to that, sit for that exam, you're like, all right, you know, I'm just
no, it's not even that, right? Like, the purpose of going to school is to really network. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you're going to a school, pick a good school, a good program, they got a good alumni base, something that can help you get internships and get jobs. That's not necessarily WGU. And yeah, people are coming on my thing. I know a lot of people that succeed to go to WGU. So do I. Right. That still don't mean I can't critique and say, like, hey, it's okay if you in, but I don't think it's the best program for somebody who needs to go to school. Because face it, it's a lot of intrinsic things that you can gain from going to college that some kids probably not even mature enough to be in corporate or working GovTech sometimes by getting auto search, and they need to kind of fill out a little bit.
Yeah.
I see that too with a lot of youngsters, kind of immature.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so I just want to go back to what you were talking about in terms of, like, some people need structure, right? It's the same thing why some people, you might need to pay somebody to help you.
That's what, like, I'm saying,
yeah. And that's fine, right? Because whether it's school, whether it's a career coach, whether it's a boot camp, you know, do your research. But, like, you might have to pay somebody because, again, like, to me, I think the steps are simple. But it's a lot that goes into it. If you don't do it right, you're not going to get the results that you want. And I tell everybody, you don't need a degree to get started. But once you get in, especially if you're Black, you better get you a degree.
Yeah.
Right. You better get you a degree. And in GovTech, these companies, they'll pay for your education. So you can go to WGU. Like my boy Ace, he's almost done with his WGU degree, and he hasn't even been in for 12 months.
Is
right?
that the one making all the funny?
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So literally, like, I tell everybody, get a job, get your foot in the door. Once you get a job with either that company, or if you know you're going to leave, wait till you go to the next company, then have them pay for your degree. Go to WGU. Every single, like, company can afford a WGU degree because they're cheap. So, like, go to WGU, knock out that degree, get your certs, get the checkbox. And then if you want to, you know, move on from there and get more degrees, you can go to like a real school. Or if you want another checkbox, you can go to WGU for the master's in cybersecurity. That's just two certs and a capstone. It could be finished in 6 months. And what people don't realize is why you should eventually get degrees once you get your foot in the door is that the degrees count as years of experience. Mm-hmm. So it makes it 10 times easier for you to get those jobs that you want. And like, it's just going to help you out, right? Like, so I tell this story sometimes, but there was a Black woman that I had worked with before when I was interning at one of the companies. And, she had like 10, 15 years NSA experience. And she was probably maybe like 25 years total into her career. And they would not promote her to a level 4 engineer because she didn't have a bachelor's degree. Even though she had 25 years of experience, NSA experience, amazing experience. She's like a genius, brilliant person. At some point in your career, you will hit a ceiling for sure. So like, as you get older, your willingness to go to school,
it goes down
drastically. So just knock it out early. And just like, and that's why I recommend WGU, because you get the certs and a degree at the same time. And most of those certs are 8140, 8570 certs for GovTech. Mm-hmm. So you literally just knock it all out. But like, people do need structure. They do need to know that you have to work hard. And that's why somebody has said, you're like the Alex Hormozi of tech. And that's good, because I think that, you know, you hear me talk about how it's simple, but then they also hear these other like tech influencers who don't even work in tech telling them like, oh, this is what you need to do, or you need to do this boot camp and stuff. And they're telling them it's so easy. I never tell people that you're not going to have to do work. I tell everyone.
It's actually not easy.
Yeah. Well, it just depends. Like, if you can do it, if you're disciplined, if you can study for an hour a day, at least you can get the Security Plus, right? You do that for 90 days, you can get the Security Plus. If you do all the steps and stay disciplined and mm-hmm. do it, it's not going to be easy, but you can get it done. Like, it's not impossible, right? And so as you get it done, you'll come out on the other side like, dang, that was worth it. And now you can start going and get other certifications, because like, the people who don't have the degrees and a traditional background and stuff like that, you're already going to have to work harder than the other people that do. So you might as well just learn and know like, okay, this is going to be a grind until I get to where I want to be at. And like, so I think a lot of people, they ask me like, oh, what certs you getting and stuff like that. I personally don't need any more certs. Like, I have the Security Plus, I got the A Plus from when I was in high school, and I got the CCP from when I was doing a master's program. But outside of that, Like, I don't have any other certs besides, like, some specific ones for the job. But outside of that, it's like, I don't need any more certs because I've reached the level I want to get to. I watch people on Twitter. I'm going on a little rant. I watch people on Twitter do this, and it drives me crazy. They will sit there and get, like, any cert that come out that's free. Like, the Oracle cert's coming out right now, right? I had shared that. But if you aren't going into data center work, why are you getting the Oracle certs, right? Microsoft, they do free certs all the time. Their challenges, AWS are doing. Why are you getting all these free certs? Remember when ServiceNow, shout out to the people at ServiceNow, but remember when ServiceNow was doing the free certs as well? Mm-hmm. Why are you getting a ServiceNow sysadmin cert and you don't plan on becoming a sysadmin in ServiceNow, right? Like, so they'll go out there, collect all these certifications, throw them all on their resume, and then be confused why they can't get a job.
It's actually stressful for the recruiter because they're like, what is
they don't know what you're trying to do.
And that's a...
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. But first of all, if you want to get into cybersecurity, get your degree from SNHU. That's where you need to go. Link in the description. Look, that's the reason why when people are trying to get into cybersecurity, if they got A+, I take it off their resume when I'm doing their resume.
You don't... Oh, my God. A+ is only for help desk. And then even then, a lot of times, A+ won't get you a help desk job, right? It most of the time, it won't because it's just so much information and it's not really like applied to the job, right? A help desk job, like we had talked about it earlier, the main functions of a help desk job is providing technical customer service, technical customer support. You don't need a two-part, $500, like, certification to provide technical customer support. Like, help desk is literally the customer service of tech, right? So if you understand ticketing systems, you understand Active Directory, not even at an advanced level, right? Yeah. Like, you understand the basics of software, you understand virtual machines a little bit, but remote desktop, you understand the main functions of help desk, why would you need the A+ certification? So
a lot of people be like, I'm going to start there. It's cool to skim it.
Yes.
It's cool to skim it. And that's about it.
I see people studying for like a year for the A+ and still don't get it.
It was just the dude, he didn't pass it in Discord. It's crazy. And so I was kind of, I don't know how you don't pass it. Because I mean,
it's a lot of information.
And it's a two-part exam.
Yeah, and it's two-part. It's so much info.
I think that's the part that turns me off the most from it is, doesn't matter if you pass the first one. If you don't pass the second one, you don't get the cert.
And it's so much information. Like, and I don't want to say it's useless information, but it's information that you're not going to use on the job. Like, the CompTIA exams are always a mile wide and an inch deep. So now people who, like, you know, haven't studied in a while, haven't been in school in a while, you're trying to do something new, and then you're trying to get this A+ two-part certification first. And if you don't get the first cert, they automatically just write off tech. That's why I tell people to skip it, because you don't need it.
Yeah.
And it ends up hurting a lot of people, like, mentality and their ego. Yeah. And it makes people just be anti-tech. And I'm like, you don't even need that cert. And then I'll see tons of people that are like, oh, I got the A+, I can't get a job. Well, yeah, because especially in GovTech, like, you're not going to be able to get root access. That's why I tell you to get the Security Plus.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, like, when they come to me in the console, I'm going to get the trifecta. I'm like, hey, all right, do me a favor. Let's go on Google right now and see how many security descriptions, job descriptions show A+. And they was like, they don't show none. I said, so why are you going to get it? I said, we can learn about a lot of the stuff that you'll need to have an IT foundation without getting the A+.
Yeah, definitely. So with that whole rant, it's just like, I just see people on tech Twitter, Black Tech Twitter, whatever, that will literally sit there and get 10 plus different certs. And I'm just like, why? Like, you don't need to collect certifications like Thanos. Like, you don't need to do that. Because if you put all those certs on your resume, you will not get any callbacks. Mm-hmm. Because the recruiter going to look at your resume and they're like, why the heck? Why? You got a ServiceNow sysadmin cert. Mm-hmm. You got this Oracle certification. You've got this Azure AI certification.
They think that more certs makes them look more like
valuable. Yeah, exactly. They think it makes them more valuable and more like wanted in the marketplace. But at the end of the day, you just getting all these entry level basic certifications that don't actually help you get jobs. It's not going to work out. So, like, literally skip all those extra certs. I truly believe that all you need to do is get 1 to 2 certifications max, and that's enough for you to get a job. Like, you don't, it doesn't even matter what you're trying to do. Like, one, two certifications, anything more than that is too much. Like, I even recently had a consult with somebody, and he was telling me how he's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to get the Security Plus, the CYSA Plus, the Security X, which is CASP. I'm going to get the AZ-900, AZ-500, RACSA, RACE. I said, dang.
That's a lot of money.
He's like, and I'm going to get the AWS, like, certifications. And I said, well, you telling me you're trying to go overseas. Why are you going to get all those certs? He said, well, because, like, you know, cloud engineering is where I want to get to. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But there are no cloud engineer jobs overseas. It's only pure IT jobs, right? And to get any of those jobs at max, all you need, he already had the Security Plus. I'm like, all you need is CYSA Plus and the CASP. That's it. You don't even need anything else. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I think, like I said, people, and especially on Twitter, they get into this thing where they're like, they're studying every day, taking certs every month. And I'm like, what is the purpose? Like, is it, are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for social media? Like, are you doing it to get a job? I personally don't understand the purpose of it, because it does not help you get a job.
It's the hype. It's the trending topics, you know, cert this, boot camp this, yeah. certifications. But that's old and not the guidance that, if you're paying attention to the right people who are sharing the right things, that's old. And no one is giving that advice or guidance that's actually in the field these days. No one's saying, yeah, you need to go ahead and get 10 certifications.
No.
Speaking of, I wanted you to talk about why you push so, not why do you push so much, but like, this is a better question. I'm rephrasing in my mind. Okay. I wanted you to briefly talk about, I guess, like how doing gov contracting overseas pretty much changed your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, right? So working as an overseas government contractor, right? I'll give it the quick spiel on it. Basically, it changed my life, because you make so much money and you have no bills, no expenses, and it's tax-free money, right? So if you're able to do that, and the reason why I got into it is from being from the DMV and seeing literally Black people buying mansions, all cash, BMW 745s, all cash, like seeing them live that lifestyle, I already knew it was real, right? My mom telling me like, oh yeah, they're going overseas and they're making $400,000 a year in the Middle East. And I said, yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. So being able to like go overseas and make that same type of money, have no expenses, do all of that, like it just allows you to get so much further ahead. Like people's biggest expense is your home expense. So yep. If you go overseas, they're paying for your housing. They pay for your car, they pay for your food, and they pay for your travel. Like the good contracts, at bare minimum, they're paying you $2,500 a year just to travel. So if all your stuff's paid for, and if you're smart, you get rid of everything in the States. You sell your car, you either rent out your house, or you sell your house, or get rid of the apartment. You have no bills, no expenses. So like I talk about it because, remember I was telling you before, I was super gung-ho on retiring early. So all I knew all I needed to do, get over there, pay off all my debt, start investing, and I'd be able to retire early. I'd be able to reach FIRE, right? And I did that. But then I got back and I was like, yeah, I'm super bored. So I went back to work not too long after. I'm like, this is just boring, right? So the reason why I talk about it is because it's literally like life changing. Like I don't know anybody who hasn't gone overseas and hasn't changed their life. Like majority of my coworkers, they like have paid off houses, paid off cars. They got investment properties all over. They got stocks. They got real estate. They have it all, because there's no way not to have it all.
Yeah. And how do you just like, I'm going to ask something funny. You just go on Indeed and type in overseas government contracting, or you got to go clearance jobs? Or?
Yeah, you got to go on clearance jobs, and then you have to go directly to the government contractor websites. So you got to go directly to like Vectrus is one of the easiest ways to get overseas working for Vectrus. Then there's a bunch of other companies too. So if you just look at the list of the, like the top 20 government contractors, most of them have overseas contracts.
Yeah. And what's like your favorite, I guess, like city or whatever that you worked in over there overseas?
Favorite country is Japan. Favorite city in the world, Tokyo.
Okay. Yeah, why? I can see that.
It's just different there. Like to me, like I really like going to Shibuya. So like I would see all the cars, like the shopping, the food's good. I mean, like to stay in that area is really expensive, but like overall, like the food and all that stuff, not super expensive. Like they party out there till like 6, 7 a.m. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like there was one night out there where we ended up like partying till like 6 a.m. I forgot what happened. Oh yeah. We had this idea that we were going to just go straight to the pods. Right. But I have tattoos like all over. So it's summertime. Me and my friend we were with, we both have like sleeves, right? So we try to get into the pod and they're like, you can't come in here. So we're like, dang, where are we going to stay at? So we like walked around and like called around all night. We finally were able to check into a hotel at like 8, 9 a.m. But checkout was at 10. So we got in there and then we immediately like we took a nap and then we had to get back out of the streets. So yeah.
I actually want to visit there because I know they got smart cities and everything like out there.
Yeah, I don't think like I wouldn't consider Tokyo a smart city. I think people romanticize that stuff. They got like smarter toilets and stuff like that, but nothing too crazy.
I'm trying to see if it's in Tokyo or I mean if it's in Japan or not. But like, so a company that Toyota owns is called. I've talked about this.
It's probably in South Korea. Toyota's Korean company.
I thought it was Japanese. I thought them and Honda were Japanese.
One of them. I think you're
probably talking about Hyundai.
Is it Hyundai?
I think it's Hyundai because they make some fire designs.
So, what's your least favorite place you've traveled to? Yeah, or that you had to.
I just say travel to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I did not like Amsterdam, and I think it was weird. It was because I faced like culture shock out there, which is weird because of living in Japan. Being out there, everything is so clean in Japan. Like in Japan, everything's different to where they got open bathrooms everywhere. Like, so all the 7-Elevens have open bathrooms. They're clean. They're spotless. There's no trash on the street. There's no littering, none of that. Get to Amsterdam. It stink. Like literally everywhere, like it stink. Like the people, I hate to say that, I don't think they wear deodorant. Like you have to pay for the bathrooms out there. Like it was literally, I was facing culture shock in Amsterdam, but I didn't face culture shock in Japan, like surprisingly, but like going to Amsterdam, having to pay for the bathrooms, the McDonald's was nasty. It was pigeons inside. Like I didn't like it. Like McDonald's in Japan is like the best in the world.
That's what I've heard.
Like, so literally I faced culture shock. So I went there for the weekend. I went there for Beyonce On the Run tour 2 with her and Jay-Z.
Okay.
Yeah. We flew out there from, I flew from Japan. My friend flew from Qatar and we flew out there. We were there for, I don't know, maybe like 4 days. And then one day we was out there. She was like, oh yeah, let's just go to Paris for a day. I'm like, all right, whatever. So we went to Paris too, and then we went back after that. But yeah, Amsterdam is not. I never want to go back to Amsterdam.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what would be like your top three things you would want to leave the listeners and the viewers with if they're watching this right now?
I hate to say it again.
Hey, it don't matter.
You gotta put in the work, y'all. You gotta put in the work. If you don't put in the work, you don't have discipline, it's just not gonna work for you, right? Nothing's gonna just fall in your lap. Like life doesn't work like that, right? Everybody sees where you all are, right? And they don't think about like all the hours that you had to put in, all the time that you had to put in. They just see everything now. So if you're not willing to put in the work and stay disciplined, it's not gonna work for you. Second thing is like, don't determine what your path is going to be based off of what's trending. Like, don't do that. Like, figure out what you want to do on your own, but you won't be able to do that until, like, you know, you get your foot in the door and really start seeing how stuff really is and, like, asking different professionals. And then lastly, the last thing I want to tell people is, like, just whatever it is that you want to do, just go out there and do it and don't give up until you reach your goals, right? Because it's going to be ups and downs, right? Everything's not perfect. Right. You're going to have ups and downs with everything that you do. But as long as you just keep going till you reach that goal or get that one, yes, like you're going to look back and be glad that you actually achieved it instead of thinking like, dang, I wonder how life would be if I would have just kept going. Because it's like that one meme where the guy is like, he's got the pitchfork and he's digging for the diamonds. The one guy, hey, turned around and gave up. And then the other guy, he kept going and he hit the diamonds. That's literally how life is. Like, winners, they just never give up. That's it. Like, you face losses, but you just never give up and you eventually reach your goals.
For sure. And I just, this dawned on me as you was talking, I said, I forgot to ask you this, because I know you mentioned how many people you've helped with your community. I briefly want you to talk about your community that you built to help people get into GovTech, and I guess like just this quick spiel about it in case anybody's interested in joining.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a school community where, you know, basically inside of there, it's like my lowest level like community. It's my GovTech blueprint community on school. And basically inside of there, it has like everything that they need to where I walk them through everything they need to know about GovTech, all of the different like entry level IT jobs in GovTech that you can get, the search you need, the skills you need. I walk them through all the different labs that they can do. And I give them my specific like Security Plus study guide that I created with like practice questions and all that. And they get like everything they need to do their resume, interviewing skills, all that. So I give them my AI prompts, my GovTech templates, resume templates, and we have the community in there. So it's like, it's just a community full of people that are either trying to get their Security Plus or they got their Security Plus and now they're working on getting a GovTech job. And there's just tons of people in there who have gotten jobs just off of just literally just following it, right? Like one guy was like, yeah, I literally just went through all the modules, 1 through 5, did everything, and I did 31 applications, had a couple of different interviews, and I was able to get 2 job offers. So like literally I make it that easy inside of the blueprint. So yeah, if you just go into like school.com, SKOOL.com, and then actually it's just school.com/GovTech and it'll come right up.
Okay. And then the last one, I meant to bring this up earlier, but I just thought about it because everybody got similar videos. Because I think when your video trended, which mine one? Popped up in the suggestion. You know your I Quit video?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On YouTube, I made one like 3 years ago, I think, or whatever. And it really started popping off like after yours popped off because they similar titles and stuff like that. But like, how did you feel about that video as far as like, because I know mine, like people see what you, how much money you says you left, whatever. And granted, I ain't really quit. I already had a job. I just said I quit because it's more, it works for the algorithm.
Right.
But I know people's like, oh, I would have stayed there. Y'all still entitled. I'm riding the bus to go make $50,000. I'd gladly go take that salary and all those different things. And even in that video, nobody even listened to the video.
They don't listen.
Look at the title.
Anton Daniels had, he had reacted to my videos. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, what was the question about the video?
It was just like, how'd you feel like about the, do you think like that's the one that set like YouTube off for you, you think?
That's the one that has the most views for sure. It's got the most views. I guess it kind of, I don't think I got that many followers from it though, or subscribers. But like, I think that video was the video that people kind of like, it's funny, right? Those videos do well because people, they take it as you taking a loss, right? Oh yeah, she finally took an L, or, you know, oh yeah, you know, things ain't going perfect for them, right? They quit their job. They're not working, right? Like, I would never do stuff like that. So, I mean, I just think videos like that, like, you actually have to be, like, vulnerable. So people, they come and they, like, like, there's people that literally still to this day, I posted that video because I quit from Exonius August. It was that year, like, where I made that Day in My Tech Life video. I quit Exonius August 2023. I started August 2022, right before I started posting on TikTok and all that. And I quit August 2023 once I hit that year. Crap, I forgot what I was about to say.
You just saying something about being vulnerable.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Pete, you being vulnerable, right? So, there's literally people still to this day who, like, they don't follow me or nothing, and they'll bring up stuff from that video. Like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, you just quit your job because you couldn't handle working remote, and you couldn't. It was like, no, that's not what I said. Like, and they bring up stuff like, yeah, and you only worked that job for 8 months. I'm like, dang, you still remember all the details of the video from almost 3 years ago? And he got the details wrong. I'm like, I worked at Exonius for 12 months. And then I took 8 months off, right? Like, so it's like those type of videos are the videos where people, like, they feel like, okay, now I got something to, like, attack them with whenever they're either saying something or doing something I don't like. So I probably would never make another video like that again, even though it gets views, right? Like, I could, like, if I, like, you could literally make a I quit video every time you quit a job, and it's gonna pop off and get views, like, because I'm telling you, because that's all people are watching them for.
People like that. I mean, I think I will say, like, when it do come to either, whether it's TikTok or YouTube, people do like the vulnerability and all that stuff. And I'm really shocked that I hadn't seen you either on his either Millionaire Morning podcast.
No, he posted it.
No, I'm surprised I hadn't seen you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. My boy Aristotle told me he was going to like link me up with him so we could go in there, because he was saying, I don't know if he said he wanted to talk to me or somebody was saying I should talk to him
y'all
or something.
Y'all are lying like on a lot of views, because he kind of similar background. He used to work in finance. I know he's working at Comerica. And then he got like some investments, and he's been really pushing like YouTube heavy like the last.
Yeah, he does a lot of those reaction videos, like, so he can get them out pretty quickly. Yeah.
So he been doing a while, but like a lot of stuff he say, like, I think I'll agree with, cause I think he went into either UX, UI, or he used to do software engineering or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Well, but, he was calling me stupid because I quit the job. But I'm like, I don't really care. Like, for me, what a lot of people don't realize, like, things are different when you actually build a real career. I could quit a job today, have a new job paying the same amount of money 2 weeks later, right? Like, but when you build a career, you can do that. But when you're just working like job to job, it's like a dead end job. Like, you're definitely going to have to, you know, keep that job for forever, right? But, you know, luckily through the grace of God, you know, everything that we've done, like all the work that we put in, everything that we've done to build our career, like, we have the flexibility to do that. If I'm like, that's really why I quit jobs the way I do, like, because I don't have to work.
Yeah.
So like, but I really like enjoy the mission and what I do. Like, I enjoy what I do. That's why I'm going back overseas, because like, I want to get back, like, fully back to doing what I love, like, all the time, you know? So I feel like the best thing about tech and just in general, all of this is just that your main goal of your tech career should be to create your dream lifestyle, right? That's why people, they're like, oh, she always just selling a dream. But I show my lifestyle. But I do tell people that anybody can double or triple their salary. And once you do that, it's up to you to decide what your dream lifestyle look like. What does that look like? Is that buying a house? Is that, you know, getting a car? Mm-hmm. Is that taking your family on vacation? Is that not having to worry about any bills? But like, tech can really provide that for you. Oh, yeah. Like, because the average tech salary is six figures. So if you aren't making six figures in tech, you're underpaid and you need to do something about it.
Yeah, no, that's facts. That's big facts. I feel that, especially when people are like, oh, they'll come. I'm like, you making what? And all these skills? Ah, yeah, we can definitely double that.
Yeah, because like, they don't know that they're underpaid, right? And that's the thing. Like, and that's why like career coaching and mentorship is so valuable, right? Because you get with the right person who knows how to really make your resume, knows how to really tell you, hey, you need to focus on these skills. These skills right here are super valuable, right? They don't know that. They like, your employer half the time is going to tell you in a nice way or a corporate way that like, your skills aren't that valuable. You're not worth that much money. We're not going to give you a raise. We're not going to promote you. Mm-hmm. So people start to internalize that type of stuff. But really, their skills are super valuable. They just don't know, because their company is paying them pennies when they could be out there making 2-3 times more. So like, recently I helped one guy. He ended up getting a $135,000 salary increase. This is year one. So he ended up going from, I think, 130 base salary to now he's going to be making $265,000 working with AWS. He didn't know how valuable like his cloud skills were. He didn't know how valuable his clearance was. So like, this first year he's going to be at like 265. Second year, because you know you get more stocks, he's going to be closer to like $300,000. Yeah. And that's just because like, he worked with me. Like, and before AWS, he had an interview with Palantir. He got Palantir skills too. He just didn't, he had made it to the second round. They selected somebody else for the third round.
Yeah. That's all it is though. Work, put in the work,
you
trial and error.
Put in the work. What they say, it's not in you, it's on you. Wait, it's not on you, it's in you. That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like that, you like that. If you not like that,
yeah, if you're not built
it's
like
not
that.
Gone. It's not going to unravel like you want it to.
Come on, future.
Yeah, yeah. You got to put that work in. That's what I'm saying. Like, if anything, I don't care. My legacy could be, hey, look, she was telling people to put that work in. Like, hey, you got to, because I'm telling you, like, those are the people who win, right? Like, the people that really win in life, they have consistently put in a lot of work. Like, everybody on the internet, all they do is cope, talk about, oh, this person got this because they had that. No, everybody put work in. You can't work these tech jobs and still be working these tech jobs unless you actually put the work in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know, like I always say, like, got to get on that Zoom.
Yeah. And it's not well, gov is maybe a little bit different, but in the public sector, it's different because you have to learn how to use these tools. And yeah. if you don't know how to use the tools, it's not customer service where you're just doing the same thing every single day. It's not that. If that's what you want, this isn't for you.
Well, I mean, but that's where help desk comes in at. It is customer service. They pretty much doing the same thing every day, mm-hmm. and they're following scripts. Yep. They're following procedures. And if it's Stops. Above their level, okay, I'm going to transfer. I'm going to escalate you to tier two support. So yeah. that's why I'd say a lot of people might want to at least start near there to kind of figure out what it is they want to do and if this is something that they even really like. But I feel like before they even, you know, if it's for you, if you can't pass Security Plus, that's another reason why I recommend it. If you can't get a Security Plus, probably not for you.
How do you not get stuck in the help desk?
you start applying for jobs after 6 to 8 months. So the reason why people get stuck,
that time frame?
I say that time frame because, like, one, it gives you enough time to get maybe one more certification. And now that gives you enough time to figure out where you want to go in your career. And then on top of that, too, like with that 6 to 8 months, it lets somebody not get complacent. Because if somebody sits around in a job for 12 months, 24 months, whatever, they get complacent. And then again, they start to... I feel like companies do mental warfare on their employees, especially the ones they know that are underpaid. So if you stick around in that type of environment where it does not reward somebody going above and beyond, it does not reward you innovating and trying to, you know, go to the next level in your career. Like you getting promoted in help desk takes like 5 years, some people 10 years. And it's not even like a huge promotion. Right. So you can't sit around in an environment like that. You got to get into the mindset of, all right, I got to grind. I got to be aggressive with my career, go somewhere else, and then just keep moving up. Because, like, you don't want to get stagnant.
Yeah, for real. And I think the other thing is, too, is, like, we didn't touch on it a lot, but network.
Absolutely.
Like, network, extending your network. Like, and people, of course, they don't even know how to network in person. They don't even know how to network even on social media. Like,
right.
all these chances these people had to network with people who were tech veterans have been in already 10, 15
and they gone
years.
Now
y'all don't have access to us like that no more. And because we was on there heavy like about 2-3 years ago, everybody was like really on X heavy. Like everybody.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like most of like the tech vets, especially the black ones, they're gone. They do not post on social media no more. Some of them have like their own little communities now.
Yeah.
But they don't post on socials no more. They don't put out game anymore. And like I said, you know, people aren't going to be around doing this forever. Like once you feel like, okay, whatever, I got a family now or something else I want to focus on, or what you'll see is a lot of tech content creators, they just stop flat out making tech content and just go to lifestyle or whatever it is, whatever hobby they're more interested in, because one, it doesn't conflict with your job. And then two, people just badger you in your comments. So they just become fed up and they're like, okay, well, I'm just going to go make some other content.
Yeah, no, that's facts. That's facts. But for the people who want to follow you, well, that's listening, since they're not going to be probably looking at the description, like, what's all your handles or your one handle?
Yeah, yeah. So you can find me everywhere at Simone Beez, SymoneBeez. And then if you want to come to GovTechCon, whether it's in person or virtual, just go to GovTechCon.com. And then we could put like a discount code, I guess, in the description.
Okay, cool. And also, if it's any other name in there that is not Beez, that's somebody that's trying to get you to send them some Bitcoin.
Oh, my God. And I don't know how people are falling for that. Like, and the thing that's crazy, right, all these impersonator pages, right, they will talk to them, send them money, and then come to me. And I'm like, well, you've been talking to them this whole time. You knew it wasn't me. Because as soon as you send them money and they stop responding, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to flip your money. I'm going to flip your Bitcoin or something. Like, I'm like, I usually don't talk about like my crypto stuff on the public side because of that. And then also, too, is like, never have I ever said like I'm going to flip any money for anybody. Thanks. Like, I don't do that type of stuff, right? I don't take any money as investments. Like, that is the common scam. And you don't even have to be somebody big on social media. Anybody with any little bit of like content,
yep,
they will go out there and start copying their pages and make fake pages of them and just start reaching out to them. But like, you really just got to use like discernment, right? I don't use WhatsApp. I don't use Telegram. My Instagram page is verified. My Twitter is verified. TikTok won't verify me, but like, it's pretty like obvious. You know, you're not talking to me.
Yeah. No. What's funny is so the way we started the episode with Kiera, we're laughing and because we're actually talking about you. She's like, why would you be giving the millionaire money?
Literally.
And then like, we're laughing. To flip your money. Like, they're like, oh, yeah. Because I've seen the screenshots people reach out. Like, I'm telling you, like, either it'll be after they gave them money or right before they give them money, they reach out to me. And they're like, this not you, is it? I'm like, you know it's not me. Well, because it's a complete. Yeah,
clearly,
like,
this is me that you asked.
Right. Like, right. They literally know it's not me. Like, they will reach out to me on my page and then screenshot the messages they have with somebody else. I'm like, it literally says Simone B E E E A Z 1 2 3 4 5 6. I'm like, you know that's not my page. Yeah, like, literally, like, you know it's not me. And that's why now you didn't reach out. Because if it was me, wouldn't we have the same text thread?
Right.
The same DM thread. Thanks. Or whatever? Like,
they've been better off just joining the school.
And I have a free school community. That's why I'm like, I don't understand it. Like, but again, like, the thing is, people are so pressed to get a microwave quick like solution that mm-hmm. they will literally send somebody money that they know isn't them because they're telling them, hey, I'll flip your money for you real quick.
First of all, no. You don't got time to be flipping nobody money.
I
bye.
Don't.
Get
have
out
time
of here.
For that.
Stop playing.
I don't Quit have playing. Any time for that
Quit.
At all.
That sound crazy. You're not. What's not clicking? That's what we were saying. That's what's,
it don't
what's
make
not
sense.
Clicking.
What they say? The lights on, but the elevator not reaching
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, like, and I don't. And everybody want to get into cyber. I'm like, you're gonna be cooked in cyber if you can't even realize like what's a real page and a fake page. Like just looking at the handle, like you're gonna be getting ate up by phishing. Like. Internal phishing emails every day.
No, facts. That's big facts, man. But no, man, I hope y'all enjoyed the episode. I know I enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. This is probably the only episode you're going to get like this from her that we got on our show. But until next time, let's stay textual and we out. Peace.